morning's scripture reading will be taken from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. That's James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and envy and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Great to see everybody today, and especially looking forward to our fellowship after our morning worship today. It's going to be good to be together with Carol and Jean, hear a little bit more about the visitation ministry, and it's been said a couple of times, it's just a good time to come and find out about it. If you haven't been a part of that, come and just hear today. Hear about it and see what you might be able to do to help out. We can sure use the participation of as many as possible. Have you ever done anything stupid? Now, if my grandchildren were here, they would say, "Granddad, you're not supposed to use that word." I didn't call anyone stupid, however. I said, "Have you ever done anything?" But let me just say foolish. If you have, maybe you can identify with some of these folks. I never can remember. Do you back in or do you pull in? That's a struggle. This goes under the category of what were you thinking when you lay down on the ground. I have no idea about that one. That doesn't look like a particularly good idea. I'm hoping that's one of those Photoshop things. I'm just kind of hoping it really is. And if you ever wondered what happened to your suitcase, there's the wisdom at the airport. Take a look right there in the guy's mouth. Yeah. And if you don't have that extension ladder at home, no worries. No worries whatsoever. I don't know if you can tell, but this guy's got his feet in a puddle. Not particularly a real good idea. You probably can't see there, but the guy in the middle at least has his eyes closed in this photo. It's like, just in case, in case this thing goes off. There's got to be a better way to get things up on the roof of a building, but, And even dog lovers, I'm sorry, this is foolish. If you're not a cat person, you just got to like that. Sorry, I just... And who needs a minivan? I mean, come on, who needs a minivan? And there's a guy actually under this car working on it, which is kind of surprising. If you never need to catch a train, here's a way to get around. And my personal favorite, that I am so sorry to say is very, very foolish. I don't quite get that. Well, it's one thing to kind of fall down in life and kind of make a mistake, but it's another thing when your life is foolish, when your life goes down the tubes. Nobody is wanting that. We want to live right. We don't want to live as foolish people. We want to know a way of wisdom. We want to know a life that makes sense. How is life supposed to work? We want to grasp some meaning. No one in this world wants to live with regrets or feeling like they've missed out on what life is all about. There's an Old Testament book that grapples with a lot of the issues of the meanings of life, and it definitely grapples with this idea of wisdom, and that's the book of Job. Now, we know the story of Job. We know about his suffering. We know about how he's suffering, losing so much of his life, and his friends come to try to help him out. They enter into some dialogues with one another. Joseph doesn't understand why his suffering is coming upon him. His friends immediately point the finger at him, said it's some sort of sin that you've committed. You need to come clean with God. But Job stands his ground and is not willing to accept that assessment. A spirited dialogue begins that takes up most of the book of Job. And in chapter 28, in the midst of that dialogue, Job is doing some reflecting on the nature of wisdom. He wants wisdom for his life. What's going on in his life? And he deals with the fact in this chapter that we really have trouble coming to understand wisdom, that as much as we would like to know, ultimately, man seems to be incapable of comprehending wisdom on his own. And we're going to take a look at what Job has to say in his own personal reflections in Job chapter 28. If you'd open up to Job 28, we're going to be reading from that chapter this morning, where Job starts out by saying, you know, it's just pretty amazing what people can do. And he talks here in the opening verses of Job 28 about how man knows that there's treasure underneath the earth and the extents that he is able to go to dig out that treasure. He says it this way: there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from where people dwell, he cuts a shaft in places forgotten by the foot of man. Far from men, he dangles and sways. Can you see the scene? The earth from which food comes is transformed below as by fire. Sapphires come from its rocks, and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has ever seen it. Proud beasts do not set foot on it, and no lion prowls there. Man's hand assaults the flinty rock and lays bare the roots of the mountains. He tunnels through the rock. His eyes see all of its treasures. He searches the sources of the rivers and brings hidden things to light. We're amazing creatures, man and woman, the way that God has created us. We find a way. We set our heart on something. We make it happen. Man knows there's something down there under the ground, and he finds a way to get down there, to dig a shaft, to make lights, to dangle from ropes, and then from the rocks to bring forth sapphires and treasures and gold from the dust. The birds of prey, the mighty creatures, they don't see this. It's underneath the ground. Man is the one who's able to plumb the depths and find the treasure that's hidden underneath the surface of the earth that no one else had ever seen. No one else can find it, but man can find it. The amazing ability of the human race, the things that we can do, created in the image of God, created with incredible powers of ingenuity, of creativity, of problem solving, of determination. When we set our minds on things, we can typically make them happen and accomplish what people would think was amazing. We really are an amazing creation of God. I was thinking this week about my grandmother came across from Mississippi to East Texas in a covered wagon. That isn't her there, but that's the way she traveled from Mississippi to East Texas. And in her lifetime, cars and airplanes and travel to the moon. It's amazing what we can do. And with all the problems that we sometimes deal with when it comes to medical concerns, think of the advances. Think of what is possible today that was impossible 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, the advancements. And then when it comes to communication, oh, the telegraph was a great thing, and now we carry these little devices around in our purses and our pockets, and I use this phone of mine. I have no idea how it does what it does, but I continue to use it. We're amazing. It's just absolutely amazing what we can accomplish. And the question is, how can we be so smart and so clever and have such ingenuity and such ability and yet in other aspects of our life be so foolish, which we sometimes are? A man can build an empire. A man can build an empire from nothing and become wealthy and have everything that life could possibly offer from a material point of view, but he can't communicate with his wife. And he can't discipline his children. He misses out on the things that are most precious in his life. He can build an empire and he can make a lot of money, but he can't build a life that lasts. It's amazing that the way that we are, the things that we will do sometimes because we long for acceptance. We want to be validated. We want to be accepted by the group and the things that we will do. Smoke our lungs full of carcinogens. We'll drink until we lose self-control. People give away their virginity to strangers. We eat ourselves to death. We starve ourselves to death. All just trying to find, what's it about? How do I find meaning for my life? How many people, for a moment's pleasure, for a moment, craving of the flesh or lust of the eyes have basically lost nearly everything of true value in their life. We can just do that at times in our foolishness, or perhaps sometimes it looks a different way. It doesn't always look like that. It's not always so obvious. We may dress real nice and drive a great car and live in a good neighborhood and look pretty well squared away and you know, have the house that we've been wanting to have for years and all of those sorts of things. But in those unguarded moments, we have those thoughts, or people do, of introspection where they feel empty. It's like, this is it. This is what it was about, getting this, getting that. This is what my life is meant to be. It's amazing that we can do anything. We can seem to be able to reach any goal and accomplish what would appear to be almost impossible tasks, and yet we miss out on the most important treasure of all, and that is the treasure of wisdom, that which we long for more than anything else. And sometimes we look at, Christians can sometimes look at folks in the world and see the way they're living, see their lifestyle, and just think of, oh, you know, people in the world, they're just evil. Well, you know, there are some evil people in the world, but you know what? Most people in the world just want to have a good life. Most people in the world are just looking for a life that makes sense to them. They want to be good people. People who don't know Jesus, they don't want their families to fall apart. They're not people who just want to go out and live extremely evil lifestyles. They're looking, they're searching, they're trying to find wisdom, they're trying to find what's life all about, what is supposed to happen here. People who don't know Jesus, and those of us who do, we don't want to feel empty inside. We want our lives to count for something. We want to look back with some sense of accomplishment, or at least that we've understood life to such an extent that we have no regrets about the way that we've lived it. We need to understand that just about people. Our next-door neighbors, or the family and friends that we have that aren't Christians, that don't know the Lord yet, those folks, they're wanting to have a life that makes sense too, a life that brings some satisfaction and some contentment. But our problem, speaking about the human race, is that though we're so clever and bright and smart in so many ways, on our own, we just don't seem to be able to lay hold of that wisdom that really matters. And Job talks about that as he thinks about his own situation. Continuing on in Job chapter 28 and verse 12, Job says, but where can wisdom be found? It's like, we can dig down in the earth and we can find all sorts of treasures, but why can't we find wisdom? Where is it? Where is it buried? Where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. It can't be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not with me. Job just says, we're not equipped to find it. We can't go deep enough to find it. It's not down in the bottom of the ocean. It's out of reach. It's just beyond us. And he goes on to say in verse 15, it cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Job says, not only can we not find this elusive treasure by searching, no matter how much money or riches we have, we can never purchase it. It's not the way you can find it. It's just simply not for sale. The richest person in the earth cannot buy this. It's incomparable and without price. And then in verse 20, he goes on to say, where then does this wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. Where is it? Job says nobody can find it. Not even death has a clue where it is. They've heard rumors of it. It's not for lack of trying that we haven't stumbled across it yet. Perhaps in the search for wisdom and meaning, more than anywhere else, we see the ingenuity of man and at the same time his foolishness. Because I'm telling you, we have looked everywhere and we've tried everything. People don't give up because we need this. It's the center of everything. It's the meaning of life. It's what pulls everything together. And so we try everything. One eye-opener, one example, is the bookstore. Go to Barnes & Noble or go to Amazon.com, click on self-help books, and read the titles. And you'll see how desperate we are to find the answers to these questions, and how very, very rich some people must be getting for giving particular answers. Here's some titles, if you go looking, off the bookshelf today. The Feeling Good Handbook. Getting the Love You Want. Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office, in case you were wondering. Please Understand Me. Getting Anyone to Do Anything. Never Feel Powerless Again. Becoming a Loving Adult to Your Inner Child. That's the one I've got the trouble with, I've got to admit. It's just so hard for me to be a loving adult to my inner child. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it sounds very profound. And if I could only love my inner child, that would be the meaning of life. I'd have it solved. And yet, don't you understand? Someone's looking back on their life and thinking, man, there's got to be some way here. Self-compassion, Stop Beating Yourself Up. That's the name of a book. Self-compassion, Stop Beating Yourself Up, which is kind of ironic, because what is the title doing? But it's beating you up. Stop beating yourself up by beating your... I just thought that was kind of ironic. It's like, isn't that kind of what the title of the book is doing? Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends On It. You see some common ties here with the titles of the book, and what they all seem to be centering on. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? One of the last ones in this list, I've got a bunch more, I won't read them all, but Self-Help That Works. I thought, I guess that's the one you read after you've read all the others. Let me just tell you, if you want to read one of these, get the one that says Self-Help That Works, because apparently maybe the others don't. You know, I look at that list of books, and on one hand, I think, aren't we pathetic? And then on the other hand, I think, but doesn't it tell us something that's really what we're wanting? What is it about? What does it mean? How does my life make sense? How can I find meaning in some sort of direction, some sort of emotional and spiritual order in my life, to make sense? We don't want to live stupid. We want to live lives of wisdom. That's the treasure that we're seeking for. And the sad truth about all of these self-help books and all the self-help programs is that they're destined to fail because we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. And we seem we can't help ourselves to keep trying to help ourselves, but we can't help ourselves. It's not the way we're designed. So it's pretty bleak. Doesn't seem to be much hope for humanity. And yet, of course, when we come back to Job chapter 28, Job gives us an answer. God understands the way to it, and He alone knows where it dwells. For He views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When He established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when He made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then He looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And He said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. Job says there is someone who knows where it is. The Creator knows where the treasure is, and He'll tell you where it is. And then he describes the creation process, how God determined all the forces of the universe, forces we would all readily admit are beyond our control. the wind, the rain, the flood, the storm, the hurricane, the tornado. That's what Job is talking about. He established the force of the winds. He measured out the waters. He made a decree for the rain. These are things that we have no power over. They are forces in our world that we cannot control. And the God who set them in order is the God who at the same time ordained wisdom and the power of wisdom that lies beyond our control. If I can't control those forces in the universe, how in the world would I ever suspect that I by myself would be capable of stumbling on to the wisdom of the ages? And that's what Job says. Job gives us the answer, and that is the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. That's the way to find wisdom. He is the one who imparts it. Wisdom for life is found in the proper understanding of God and your relationship with Him. You can't get this by ingenuity. You can't find it by cleverness. We can't find this just by thinking about it or by endless searching. The way we find the answer is by the revelation of God, who Himself has said, if you're really interested in finding the way of wisdom, here's where it is. You need to know who I am. You need to fear me. You need to bow down before me. You need to reverence me. You need to understand I'm the creator. You're the creation. That's where it starts. Understand the relationship. Come to understand me. Then you can understand life. Then you know what your life is about. Then you know who you are. Then you know what is supposed to be happening in this world. When you have that understanding and that fear of God. And that makes the wisdom that we need for life available to anyone. Because anyone can come and bow before the throne of God. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to live on the right side of town or in the right country or into the right political system. All you have to do is come before God and bow before Him as your creator. That's the beginning of wisdom. It's not in us. It's not because we got so clever and worked this thing out. God is the one who reveals, and that's when we can understand what life is all about. To fear God, to walk in His ways, to listen to Him. He's my creator. He built me. He knows how I'm put together. He knows the meaning of life because He's the author of life. And true wisdom accepts that reality and looks to God for direction, to fear Him, because we can search all we want, but we'll never find. You know, there's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We think that we've arrived, you know, we think that we're the smart folks today. Well, in the first century, you had a little thing called the Greek culture that was pretty well advanced. And you have the Jews, who of course had the law of Moses and had the special relationship with God. And they all thought they knew the meaning of life. They all thought they could find wisdom. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, Paul reminds them all of where true wisdom is found, where God's wisdom is found. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. Where's the wise man? Where's the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Think about the stack of self-help books for just a moment. Is God not just pretty much... it's just foolishness. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Paul says in his day, people are looking for it. People are looking for wisdom. Wisdom is this: Jesus Christ on a cross. That's the wisdom of God. That's salvation. That's reconciliation to your Creator. That's getting your life back on the tracks. That's going to do for you what nothing else in the world can do. And Paul's basically saying the people who are looking for worldly wisdom aren't going to buy into this. They're not going to listen to it. They're going to think it's just foolishness. It's not going to make any sense to them. But this is the wisdom of God. This is the power to turn your life around. This is God's wisdom. Jesus foreshadowing this in his teaching to his disciples in Matthew 16 calls us to live out the cross as the wisdom for our own lives. When he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Jesus is saying that's the cross. Is the wisdom for your life. Just as he is about to go to the cross, he calls upon his disciples to understand the heart of wisdom is to deny yourself, is to bow before God, is to say Christ is Lord. That's where wisdom begins, to get it right in your relationship with God, to submit your life completely. You're not going to hear that message from the world. That's not the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world is about self, but it's not about the denial of self. All of those books have one thing in common. They're all about the importance of the self, the exaltation of the self. And Jesus is telling us the only way we can really know the meaning of life is to submit and to deny the self for our Creator and for His ways. And that may not be worldly wisdom. And it may not get you the corner office, I don't know, but getting the corner office doesn't unlock the secret of life either. It's so important for us as believers not to be influenced, and it's so easy to be influenced by that prevailing way of thinking in the world of this is the way to importance, this is the way to meaning, this is the way it happens. We need to never evaluate our lives by the standards of a world that just doesn't understand the standards of the kingdom of God. And I'd say to all of us, but I'm thinking today of our younger people here, those of you who are finishing up high school or in college or just beyond that, and you're making decisions about your life, and the world is going to have so many messages about this is the way, and that's the way, and oh, make sure you do this, and make sure you get that. God just says, look to my son on the cross. Let that be the pattern for your life. Let that be the wisdom for your life. Give your life to me. Use your life in service to others. This is where wisdom is to be found. And I'll tell you, if you doubt that, look at our world. Look at our world. What a mess. Turn on the television, look on the internet, pick up a paper. What a mess our world is in. What a mess. It's wisdom from below. Our world, our culture operates so much from the wisdom that is from below. J.R. read to us a few moments ago from that passage in James chapter 3, where he says that wisdom from below, did you know it? It's centered in the self. It's centered in your own ambition. It's centered in getting your dreams fulfilled. It's centered in me. And then when it's centered in me, what it works out to be is anything that I need it to be, anything I need to do to express myself. And our world is just filled with immorality and pain and sickness and suffering. So much of it is a direct result of the way that we live and not understanding the wisdom that comes from God. Self-help is not going to change that. You can read all those self-help books in the world, and our world is going to be in the mess that it's in because the only thing that can change that is Jesus Christ crucified. The forgiveness of sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help us live new and sanctified lives. That's the purpose of God for us. God's wisdom is just so very different. Did you hear Scripture a few moments ago? God's wisdom is pure. Pure. It's peace-loving. God's wisdom is considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit. It's impartial. God's wisdom is sincere. And James says, when you live your life according to that, you will experience a harvest in your life of righteousness and of peace. That's what the wisdom of God produces in the lives of people who fear Him and live in accordance with His will. The wisdom of the world focuses on self. It longs for happiness, and it produces strife. The wisdom of God focuses on Jesus Christ. It focuses on serving others. It longs for righteousness, and it brings about peace. Therein lies the difference. And as we search for that elusive treasure, I speak to those who maybe are at a point in their life where they haven't yet made that decision. If you're searching for that treasure that seems so elusive, we who've come to know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, would point you to God. We would say, turn to God. Make God the heart and soul and the center of your life. Focus on Him and what He's done for you in Christ Jesus. Know Him and love Him and respect Him and hear His word and be obedient to it. Reverence God and follow Jesus Christ the Lord. Turn from the sin in your life, the things that are contrary to God. And when you look at those, really, when we finally look at all of those things in our lives that are contrary to God, they don't bring us joy. They don't bring us peace and contentment. There's always in there, even in that counterfeit moment of pleasure, there's pain and there's guilt and there's shame. And we realize this is not what our lives were meant to be. And God calls us to have a wisdom that is pure. And you come to Christ, and you bow before Him as your Lord, and you confess His name as the Son of God, and you're baptized and forgiven by His blood shed on the cross, and receive the Spirit of God to help transform you into that new creature that God longs to create out of you and out of me, and to know the wisdom of God in your life. And brothers and sisters, those of us who have made that kind of decision, how important it is for us to live out these realities, to continue to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow, to serve, and especially to share the wisdom of God, the message of Christ, with the people around us who don't know it. We get so afraid of doing that. We think, oh, what are people going to... There are so many people, those acquaintances you have, those friends you have, and maybe they don't just come out and tell you what's going on in their lives, but you and I, we have something to share with them that can change them in such positive ways, to come to know God. Everyone deep down is looking for these things. We want meaning. We want significance. We want to live without regret. We want to live with contentment and peace. And the only true way to do that is to live in a relationship with God. May God give you and I as Christians a heart for people who do not yet know that peace and that contentment in their lives, so that we are so willing and happy and grateful that we can share that good news with them. The way of wisdom, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. May God help each one of us as we serve Him and live for Him. And if you need to respond to God for the many gifts that He provides in Jesus Christ, we invite you, while we stand as we sing.